this is a difficult sermon because it's a difficult text, and I'm really wrestling. I'm hoping that you get some good out of it without me discouraging you from I'm not sure what it says kind of idea. So let's see what we can do, okay? Let's pray, and then I'll read the passage, and then I'll introduce it a little bit. We have a lot to cover, even though it may not look like a lot. So let's pray. Father, would you help us today as we study? Lord, some passages of Scripture are just difficult. And even though this one up front seems really easy, it actually is just the opposite. But I pray that you would help us to work through it and learn what we can from the passage. Lord, you certainly talk about this throughout Scripture. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us a timeliness that we'll be able to cover it in a way that does it justice, but also allows us to finish. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I call this Jesus tells us to be living by looking ahead. And that's really so general, it probably doesn't do it justice either. I list the whole background here just to give you an idea, and I'm just going to read through these very quickly. This is just chapters 11 and 12 of Luke. This is what all we've covered just in these two chapters. But how to pray, why to pray. Jesus is falsely accused. They say he's doing his work by Beelzebub. Remember that, and the idea that we'll face persecution too. God blesses obedience. The secret sign is not a secret sign. The resurrection is the sign that everything is true. The purpose of the lamp and the power of the lamp. We looked at those separately. There was so much there. Then Jesus breaks boundaries. He doesn't wash in the way that Pharisees want him to when he goes to eat, remember? Jesus details failures of the Pharisees. I just cut it off because I didn't want to run it down. But the failures of the Pharisees, he tells them woe unto them all these times. He confronts secret sin, things that are done in secret. We're supposed to fear the God that has control after the not, right? Before and after. The cost of speaking for Jesus, the help of the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus warns against greed or covetousness. The last two Sundays we've talked about that. I think this hinges on what he said here. Okay, so it goes into this more. He's still talking about how we're to conduct ourselves. Now here's my challenge here. And I have three statements. We know what Jesus is saying. It's not a challenge about what are these words at all. We know what he's saying. It's more difficult to know precisely what Jesus means because he doesn't explain what he's saying. And we see that at least regularly in Scripture. So you have to compare Scripture to Scripture, but you do not necessarily get a level of certainty that is comfortable. In other words, you're not sure, but this is what you think. And that's the best I'll be able to do, at least in part of this today. Lastly here, further, it's more difficult to understand what these teachings look like in action. And I'll explain that in a little bit, but it's hard to know what does it mean to be watching? You know, what does it look like? And we're not talking about TV or any, you know, what does it look like when a Christian is watching or waiting? How does that look like when we're doing it? That's what we're hoping to paint a little bit of a picture of. Still with the level of uncertainty. It means this for sure, but whether Jesus is talking about that, I'm not sure. Okay, so let's get started here. Let me read the passage of Scripture. This is Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. I think there's still three sermons left in this chapter. Okay, we go through the end of October in Luke 12. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants.
But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay? A lot here. Let's get started. I already have an error in my statement here. Okay. The first one here, I call it, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Okay, and I'm going to change this because I use this elsewhere. I work your outlines over a lot. So let me just change something real quick. So I do this. This is postured. The word is postured. P-O-S-T-U-R-D. It's a military term even. But stay postured for eternal action. I don't think prepared quite covers it. Because prepared, if you prepare a meal, there comes a point in time when you're done preparing. With me? If you get something, if you get ready to go to church, if we go to church, right? There's a point in time where you're kind of ready, you're done. Where a posture is just something you maintain. A posture of awareness, a posture of alertness. It's an ongoing stance that Jesus is talking about here. Okay? So it's not something you do and finish. It's something you do and never finish. Because you're continuing to do it. All right? So we haven't talked about what the posture is. The command here, and again, this is different. Notice the word that I bold there. I bolded the commands here in this text. But it's let. That's the best I can do here. But the command here, and this is not in your notes. I just added it for clarity. But the command is a second person imperative. You all, you let being. Okay, and it's, well, how do you say that in English? I don't know. How do you translate that into English? Here's my translation of this verse. Let being, this is very wooden literal, okay? It's not something you read, but it's, hopefully you get it. Let being of you, the loins having been girded, and the lamps being made burning. So it's continually be doing this. Continually let this be what is true about you. And the problem is, it says it's a command, so it's something you're told to do, but it's something you're told to continue to do that has already been done. Okay, so it's a present tense telling you, let you be in this posture of having had your loins girded and having your lamp having been lit. So it's something you've done, and then you are continuing to maintain that posture. Okay? So when you gird your loins, guys used to wear more robe-ish kind of stuff, and it's hard to run in robes. It's hard to work in robes. So they would tie them up around their waist. So it frees up their legs for movement. You do that, but Jesus is saying, keep that, stay in that state of being girded. Okay? So if the robe falls down, pull it back up again. Okay, does that make sense? So there's a present tense. You've done it, but make sure it stays that way. If I can maybe say it that way. And your lamp, let's see. By the way, why do you gird? He says, gird your loins. It's wrapping your clothes up so that you can be ready. By remaining ready. So I have remaining, that's that present tense idea, but ready or already ready, but you're still at a posture of being ready. It is a very much a military idea in the sense that you're ready to go. You're always alert. You're paying attention to what's in front of you or what's around you.
You're girded. You're ready to go, and you're going to stay in that state, in that posture. In the military, it's a defensive posture. You're going to dig foxholes. You're going to put overhead cover over your foxholes. You're going to post guards and rotes, a schedule so some guys can sleep and some guys stay awake, you know, because you're maintaining this defensive posture. You're ready. Okay? We used to wear web gear with all of our ammunition stuff and our canteen and all that and our protective mask for like gas attacks and all that. We had to wear that. That was our protective posture. We had to have that. Plus, our weapon had to be nearby, you know, ready to go. You never set your weapon down. So by remaining ready, it's an ongoing thing that you've done, but you maintain that. You keep that up, okay? Now, the next one here, he says the lamps are burning. And again, the hard part is, what is Jesus talking about? Because I don't think he's really talking about these guys walking around with their robes girded all the time. We don't want to see your legs. Right? He's not saying that. Did you use the term metaphor this morning? Good. It's a metaphor. He's talking, using one example for something else. He doesn't want us to roll up our pant legs or whatever. Okay, that's not what he's telling us to do either. So we have to look and see what does that mean, and we'll get to that hopefully to some degree with some level of certainty. It's this, but maybe it's this. Both are true. Which one is Jesus talking about? That's the only thing I have a problem with. The second one here is your lamps be burning. Anyone light any lamps today? Anyone? No, lamps. Burning. Burning. Well, apparently you're disobedient. Or Jesus is talking about something else. What is that something else? Well, I'm giving you my conclusion. This is not a translation. It's an interpretation here. By spreading the truth. Remember, we already talked about the power of a lamp and the purpose of a lamp earlier on. Do you remember that? I just threw that up here briefly. But a lamp is intended to broadcast light. Okay? So that's kind of a conclusion that I'm throwing in here. What Jesus, I think, is meaning is you need to be impacting with the truth. You need to be broadcasting and proclaiming the truth, spreading the truth here, okay? By remaining ready, and I'm giving you a little bit of what's on the backside, just so you know. What does he mean by being ready? There's two possibilities that I can think of. The only other, the word gird, wrap, is only used 6 times in all of the New Testament. Luke uses them 3 times of the 6. The only other time that it's talking about girding that's not physical. By the way, he uses it one more time in this passage. So 2 out of the 6 times are in here that we'll see. Okay? But the only other time he talks about girding in some kind of other way that's not metaphorical, that's talking really about clothing, is in... It's on the backside of your notes there. But it's Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. Now is that what Jesus is talking about? Ephesians 6:14 is true. So it's not an issue of what is true, right? We are to gird our waist with truth. That is the only other time you see this idea mentioned using that metaphor. So it could be that you gird your waist with truth in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. That's what he's talking about, if that's what he's talking about. And then proclaim that truth with the burning of the lamps. The other possibility, and I think this is a legitimate possibility, even though the Bible doesn't talk about it this way, is because of the rest of the context before and after this verse, he's saying don't get bogged down. Don't get caught up with distractions. If you're, don't get comfortable. Don't get lazy. Don't get preoccupied with other things, because we are in a war according to Scripture. So don't act like you're not in a war. And I think of Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, where it says to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us and every weight that keeps us from running the race. It could be talking about that too, that cumbersome distraction. By the way, both of those ideas are true in Scripture. I just am not sure which one Jesus is talking about for sure here. That's my only conundrum here. You didn't even know I had a conundrum, did you? Anyway. Okay. Stay postured. You're staying in a state of having been girded, and whether it's filling your mind with the truth, which is something believers do elsewhere, so that's still a biblical concept, and then proclaiming the truth, or if it means, when I think of girding, I think more of the idea of becoming less distracted and encumbered. You get rid of the extra weight. So it could be the Hebrews 12 idea. But either one, that is true. We are commanded that as well. So it's not an issue of whether or not it's true for us. It's an issue of whether or not, is which one is Jesus talking about. Okay? So we have to stay postured. We need to be remaining ready and by continually spreading the truth, okay? Number two here, Jesus gives a picture of readiness. Okay, it's really not an easy outline, because it's like, well, here's a command, and then he goes on to give an example of what he's talking about. All right? So I assigned it a separate point, but notice, look up here, because this isn't in your notes. The word be, after the words yourselves, is supplied by the translator. It doesn't occur there. It's implied at best. But it's actually piggybacking off of the command in chapter or verse 35. He says, let this be being for you. It's a command. Having your waist girded and your lamps having been burning, and he says this, and you yourselves continually be, is the idea, be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks they may open to him immediately. Now what's the picture here? First, there's a master. So then who are we that Jesus is telling us? Servants. Yes. Servants. So Jesus is basically saying you're servants and there's a master that you need to be waiting for. Okay? And by the way, there's different comments about the wedding. Our weddings are not like their weddings. Their weddings were long, intricate. They would go feast here, then feast there. It literally says from the feasts. He's coming from the feast. But some people say that there's multiple feasts. You go feast at the bride's house. You come feast at your house. I like the idea of feasting, you know. But there's lots of feasts. But there's a process here. I'm not really wanting to spend the time to define that, the cultural implication here. But the master's gone, and you need to be ready when he comes back, most likely with his bride. Okay? So, it says here, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him what? What's the word? Immediately. Right? You see that word a lot in the book of Mark. So here, there's two parts here that I break out. The first one I call intention. The intention is that you're waiting. The word waiting is gregoreo. 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 We get a name from that. Anyone? Gregory. Yeah, my younger brother's middle name is Kurt Gregory Subra. That's where it comes from. Okay? It's someone who's watchful. Okay, and it could even be awake or alert. So if someone's gregarious, they're very energetic and, you know, outgoing kind of thing. But that's the intention. You're waiting for the master. And again, okay, I get that picture very easily, because if I need to stand by the door and wait for my master, I could do that. But what does it look like for Kevin to be waiting in this day? I have no door to open. You? Right? What does that look like? When you're doing it, when you're waiting. Glad you asked, and we'll talk about it later. Number, letter B here. There's an anticipation. There's an intention there that he's waiting. And why is he waiting? So that when the master knocks on the door, he can immediately say, "Welcome, master. Good to see you back." Immediately is kind of the key word there. It's not like, "Oh no, I gotta run now. Someone's at the door. Oh, it's the master. Hi." Right? It's wrong. He's supposed to be ready and waiting. And I use the word anticipation because he's ready to be responding to the master. As soon as the door is knocked on, he opens the door. And again, what does that look like for us? There's no door being knocked on by the master. Okay? Anyway, that's the picture. We'll come back to that on the back side. So Jesus gives a picture of readiness. It's like servants that are supposed to be waiting for the master. When he returns, as soon as he knocks on the door, they can open it. There's a responsiveness there. Okay? Let's keep going here. Number three, those postured. And I think I took it out of your notes, but I had those so postured. Postured in that way that Jesus described, where they have their loins girded, they're ready, and they keep ready. And their lamps are burning, and they're keeping them burning. And they're like the servant who's waiting so that when the door knocks, they're right there ready to be responsive to what the master needs. He's saying these. It's very emphatic in the Greek. It says, blessed are these, those servants that are so postured in the way that he just described, those three ways he described them. He said, blessed are those servants. By the word servant here is douloi. There's two words. It's slave. Douloi is slave. Okay, blessed are those slaves whom the master, by the way, Paul called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. Okay. Blessed are those servants or slaves whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. They're like what Jesus just pictured. He comes home, and they're all awake and ready to serve. Okay? That's the picture. And again, we still like, how does it look? Well, we'll get to that, hopefully. He says, assuredly, I say to you, by the way, assuredly is the word amen. We just had that in Deuteronomy 2, but it's, you know, it's, this is a certainty. Truly, I say to you that he will gird. There's the second occurrence of the six in all the New Testament. He will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. So let's break this down just a little bit. And here's still the story here. Jesus is telling a parable almost. And he says, a human master returns. Okay, that's the scenario. He returns. And he finds them watching. He finds them watching. That's the word gregoreo. And then the master rewards his servants. Now this would be culturally upside down. At least from the commentaries I read, it's like this is not normal even then. And he said, this is what you can expect if you are watching. The master himself, he will do three things. He will gird himself. He will wrap himself. He will have them recline with the idea to eat. It's the word recline, but it's the idea to eat. That they even supply the words to eat there, as you see. But sit down really is not the word. They didn't sit down to eat. They reclined to eat. And he will serve them. Diakoneo, kind of serving. He will feed them. It's a reward where the master becomes their servant. He cares for their needs and he ministers to them. There's a return, a reward, a reciprocation of the activity that they had done because they... Why? Not because they were servants, but because they were faithful servants. Are you catching this? They're not being rewarded because they happen to live in his house. They're being rewarded because they were doing what they were supposed to in his house. They were staying up and staying alert, ready to serve the master. And he said, the master, when he finds those in that posture, he will reward them with a reciprocation type of ministry. It's not all the servants. It's the servants that are girded, have their lamps burning, they're watching and waiting. All right? Okay, number four. I said those postured will be rewarded, but also let me add those persistent will be rewarded. And those aren't opposites or whatever. He just overlaps them some, as I understand this here. Jesus goes on to say, and if he, the master, should come in the second guard. It's not the same word watch. It's the word for guard. It's a time of guarding. There's different periods of guarding. The second watch, the third watch, the watch of guarding. It's not the same thing as the word we looked at earlier, watch. If he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them in that posture, girded, lamps lit, waiting, watching, are words and our ideas that have been given by Jesus already. Blessed are what? Those servants. You see that? You might want to circle in verse 37. It's on the first line. Blessed are those. Circle those. He's talking about those servants. The ones that are ready, waiting, watching, girded, lamps lit. And then in verse 38, toward the end of the verse, blessed are those. Those persistent, so he's saying it maybe a different way. Okay? The return time is unknown to us, to these slaves or servants here. That's a part of the criteria here that we understand. Letter B here is those that are ready will be blessed. Those in that are, and he finds them thus. Finds them so, finds them in this state of waiting in a prepared state. Girded, ready for work, if you will. Lamps lit, waiting at the door, and watching. Those people will be blessed. And that I equate blessing with reward here. It's a conditional thing that you get if you're like them. So that's a reward. That's how I see that. Okay. It may still be murky. We understand what he's saying. You see what I'm saying? I understand what Jesus is saying. What does he mean by this? Because how do I do this? We'll break that down hopefully in a little bit here. Number five here.
Jesus seems to shift gears, and there's a little bit of discussion about what he's talking about. Look at verse 39, and notice there's a verb again. It's a present tense. But be knowing this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. What? We were just talking about the master coming home, and now we're talking about the master being broken into by a what? A thief. So, the question is Jesus talking about the thief arriving as being him somehow? Actually, some commentators suggest that. I don't think that's what it's talking about. Usually, thief is a bad thing. In fact, Jesus talks about, I'm not the thief. The thief goes around the side. I come through the gate. Right? John chapter 10. I am not the thief. So I don't think he's talking about that. So let me tell you what I think it is. I think Jesus is saying, with regard to watching and waiting and being girded and having your lamp burning, it not only has to do with being prepared for the master's coming, but it also has to do with protecting the master's house. Does that make sense? Protecting yourself even in the master's house. That's why I put here, only vigilance is effective. Well, either way you need vigilance, but now he's talking about a master not being home, or at least not protecting his house. And had he known when the thief was going to come, he could have had somebody there and not permitted him to come in. It's not the same word guard or watch again. But so this is what I state. It's two parts of a single sentence. Because the dangers are constant. This is part of the watching. I think this is part of the context that helps you understand what Jesus is talking about. He's saying you have to understand that life is dangerous to Christians. Life is dangerous, and you need to stay vigilant because of the dangers that are out there. We must remain alert. If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. What's the solution to that? You have to stay alert. You have to stay vigilant. That's the only way you can solve the problem, is to constantly monitor. It might not be the same person all night long or whatever, but you have to be ready and waiting for dangers as well as the master. It's an idea of protection as well as preparation for the master. You have to stay alert. And we'll talk about that just in a little bit also. Now, when you read this next one here, verse 40 is, therefore you also be. There's the command again, but it's not the same be as in verse 35 here. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, before you correct my English, this is literally what the Greek says. It says, you yourselves be becoming. There's different words, but this we get the word Genesis comes from this. Okay, it could be a be birthing or becoming. Okay? You yourselves be becoming, and it's an ongoing present tense verb. You yourselves be becoming ready. It's kind of like what he said in the verse 35, in a sense. You know, let yourself be being in a state of having your loins girded and your lamp having been lit. Idea, okay? It's confusing to us in English. but it's very strong in the Greek. Letter A here, I call it his command, the need is ongoing. That's why you need to constantly be coming in a state of readiness. Be ready. We'll talk about the word ready in a little bit, but it's actually an adjective. Be in a state of readiness. Continually be becoming in the state of readiness. And again, this all smacks of military to me. Having been in the military for a little while, and I kind of enjoy the military to this day, it's an idea that you cannot just kind of casually be a soldier or a military unit. You have to be ready. And constantly being ready. You're training over and over. You're preparing. You're practicing shooting. You're examining your approaches and how the enemy can come to you, how you can get to them. Where's the location? You're constantly in a state of becoming ready. You're never finished becoming ready. So it's an ongoing, his command, it's an ongoing need. The next one here is return. The fact that Jesus is coming back, and that's what we get by looking ahead here, the fact that Jesus is coming back is certain. That's not a question, is Jesus coming back? The answer is unequivocally yes. Okay? The fact is certain. Listen, there's one thing that's not certain, is the time. His reason is, be ready, continually in a state of readiness, if you will. Be working toward that continual state of readiness because the time is unknown. Do you think it was wise for God not to tell us when Jesus was going to come back? Anyone ever write a research paper the night before it was due? Or if you knew that Jesus wasn't going to come back for 50 years, that it would change how you walked with him, or that you didn't walk with him at all? I think it's strategy on God's part. By the way, Jesus said he didn't even know the time, right? But we are to be in a state of continually becoming ready. Because we are in a war. We need to approach life like combat, not like a vacation. We need to approach life like it's life or death rather than routine. Every area of your life is combat from Jesus' standpoint. You need to be girded, ready for action, waiting, watching, and ready. Those are all words he uses. Okay? Now, again, my puzzle, my enigma, my dilemma is, I understand what he's saying. Right? It isn't that, okay, I could be ready, yeah, okay, wait at the door, stay alert, all of that. But how does that look when I'm out living? When I'm at home? Right? Or what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? Well, I can only investigate by looking how the words are used elsewhere in Scripture to some degree. And I think it'll find some satisfactory answers here, okay? Let's flip the page over here. Looking closer at the words Jesus uses is what I call this. I didn't put that in your notes because I simply didn't have the space. I suppose I could have put it down the center. I'm joking. I wouldn't do that. Write it by hand. But the first one is the word girded, right? Girded. And you can see the word, it's only used six times. One time it's used directly spiritual. Jesus is talking about girding up your loins, but he doesn't explain what. But you have to understand, when we talk about literal interpretation, you have to understand the idea of girding up your loins before you can understand that it has any other meaning, right? You have to understand the word picture literally before you can understand how it applies. The problem is we don't know how it applies exactly. So I gave you two ideas. I've already thrown these out, but I use the word posture here. The idea of girded is a posture of readiness, really. But Ephesians 6:14, I think it's one of two things. Okay? And it's not, these aren't necessarily either or, because they go together in a sense. But Paul says this in Ephesians 4, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth." It's probably a different way of saying, immerse yourself in Scripture. Right? Continually be walking in the Word, knowing what the truth is. So that definitely helps you gird, because listen, the truth helps you to eliminate distraction. The truth tells you that this is a waste of your time. The truth tells you that life is more than food and clothing, right? All of these things. So it helps you, like in Hebrews 12, it says to lay aside the sin that so easily besets you, and the things that encumber your run, so that you can run with patience. That is the truth also, right? So, and both are true. We're told to do both. So I think the truth is there, but the truth helps us to focus. The truth helps us to do what matters rather than what doesn't matter. The idea of girded is more than just being able to recite information back. We're not talking about truth as a form of just here, let me list things that I know. It's active truth that you're ready to put into action. That's what truth is. Truth is intended to be light, to help you conduct yourself in a way you're supposed to live. That's what truth is. So I think you're... even Ephesians 6:14 is a soldier, right? It's the armor of God, right? That you're putting on. That's what he's talking. It's still a military idea here that you have to understand the truth, or everything else doesn't work. And that helps you to stay ready to understand all that's going around you, so you can make wise choices so that you are not being distracted or over scheduled with stuff that doesn't matter, so that you can be ready to do what does matter for God. Okay? So that's girded. I call it posture. It's a posture of readiness, but it's a posture of readiness based upon the truth of God. You understand what God says. And therefore, you order your life in a posture of readiness for that, okay? The next one here is burning, and it's lamp. And again, it's interesting, but this word isn't really... The word burning is kaio, okay? That's a verb. And then lamp as well. I just combined the two. Luknos, neither is used a whole lot. I use the term message for this. Again, the idea of spreading the truth on the 1B of the other side. But I use this. Here's Matthew 5:15. It uses both words. Nor do they light, nor do they burn. It's a verb. Nor do they burn a lamp. There's that lamp, and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Again, a lamp burning is intended to help people see things. Yourself, but I think in the context of Scripture, you're helping others see the truth. There is an active spreading of the truth by your conduct, that they may see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation, but also in your words, right? There's both. Neither is complete. You can't proclaim without backing it up by your righteous lifestyle. You can't. The righteous lifestyle doesn't mean much until people understand why you're living that way, right? It takes both. So the burning there. So to me, those two kind of lean that way. Now the next one here is the word weight. It's prosdekomai. It's again only used 14 times, and it's the word. In Titus chapter 2, we're going to come back to this passage, but it's the word here translated looking, which is weird, right? Waiting. Hopefully that gives you the idea that when the master finds you waiting, it's not you're just sitting there playing on your phone, a game or whatever. You're looking for him. That's a completely different idea, right? When you're in the waiting room, what do? You sit there and you wait. But when you're looking, it's again a posture of looking forward to the nurse or whatever you're in the waiting room for, coming to get you. Right? You're looking with the idea of anticipation of someone coming through that door. And that's what Titus 2:13 says, looking or waiting towards, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be anticipating. Am I going backwards? Oh, wait. We are to be anticipating Jesus' return, and that looking is to order our lives. Okay, so that idea of waiting for the Master, when he comes, he will find watching. Verse 36, who wait for their Master. It's not they're waiting, joking. In the army, no shucking and jawing now. We're not going to be goofing around here. You're to be actively working toward the idea that the Master's returning. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not wasting your time. It is ordering your time with the idea that Jesus is coming back. That's the idea of waiting in Scripture. And again, understand that those that Jesus finds in this posture will be rewarded. It's worth you looking to the coming of Jesus and living on that basis. Okay? So I call it a motive. That's your motive. Hey, Jesus is coming back. So that tells me how to live. Not me. What do I want to do today? What works in that direction with the idea that Jesus may return today? All right? Now, the next word is that gregoreo word. I'm not going to put it up here yet. It's used a few more times. It's amazing, but 10 of those 22 times it's used, it's a command. Now, I would say at least 6 of those are where Jesus is in the garden praying before he's in the process of being betrayed. And throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he tells his disciples, watch and pray. And it's a command. Okay, so 6 of those. But it also shows up elsewhere. So I call this vigilance. The watch is the vigilance. But what does watch look like? So if you look in your... I put some scripture in there, and I know this is fast. But each of these covers a slightly different angle. Look here, Matthew 24:42. And by the way, all of the bold ones are commands here. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. That's a parallel passage to what we just are studying this morning. So he's talking about the same thing. You don't know when the Lord is coming. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. By the way, that's when they were in the garden, but that's still true. So watching seems to be, as we talked about vigilance on the other side, the idea of being aware of potential danger. What's the danger that Jesus warns them about? Watch and pray lest you what? Help me out here. Still with me? Lest you fall into temptation. Listen, watching has to do with making sure you're not falling into temptation, and it involves praying. Another verse. Acts 20, 31. Now, this is Paul to the elders of Ephesus, but he uses another command again. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. What was he warning about? False teachers from within and without. Okay, that's what he was warning about. So there is danger in false teachers, danger and temptation. 1 Corinthians 16:13, another command, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. I wish each one of those is a sermon. Colossians 4, continue earnestly in prayer, being gregarious, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. So watching has a lot to do with what? Praying. Okay, you're watching. How's your prayer life? That'll tell you if you have a posture of readiness. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, be awake. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be watching, be vigilant. Because, and here's another danger, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to have you over for lunch. As lunch. We have an enemy. That's why we are, did I mention we're in a battle? And that is our posture. And I think a lot of Christians don't have any kind of battle posture at all. So they are distracted, but they're also, listen, they're defeated by the devil. And by the way, their own temptations. Okay? And maybe even false teachers. All right, so that's watch, vigilance. Here's the next one. Here's the word thief. And I list it as a danger here. I give you John chapter 10 with the idea that Jesus is not the thief. He says here the thief does not, by the way, it's kleptos. We get kleptomaniac from that, right? The thief does not come in to, except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The idea though, that the thief, who's the thief ultimately? It's the devil. He comes in to kill and destroy. That's the devil. Okay? We'll be in 2 Peter 3 shortly. Revelation 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. That sounds like punishment by God. In Revelation 3:3, on a church that ignored what God said. And then Revelation 16:15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his name. So here's the idea where thief is used in a positive way about God. He's coming not to be a thief, but as a thief, i.e. unannounced without knowing what time. But he uses the same term, watches, who is watching and keeps his garments. This seems to have the idea also of then keeping ourselves holy. Okay. The next word here, ready, action. Ready seems to relate to action, doing things. You're ready for action. And when Jesus returns and finds us ready. Matthew 24:44, that parallel passage. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. 2 Corinthians 9:5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to prepare your generous gift beforehand, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity. Paul uses the term ready with the idea of giving. You give ahead of time, so you're ready. Titus 3:1, remind them to be subject to rulers. And notice this phrase, and I've took out some sort of fit, but to be ready for every good work. Again, if you are preoccupied with all the things that you pile up in your life, you're not ready for good work. So that girding seems to relate to that as well. And then here's this even, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear, that you are living for God and being persecuted for doing right.
is the context there. You're ready to give an answer. Okay, and the last one here, I just call it logic. It says here that you don't know, Jesus will come in an hour when you do not expect. It's bad logic. We kind of try to guess when the boss is going to show back up idea. And we're not to be that way at all. We're to be constantly ready. Now, I'm not done, but I'm done with your notes. But I would ask you to look up here because I have four passages of My record is skipping, so I'm stopping the record player, I guess. Four passages of Scripture that relate to this that I think will help kind of bring it together. At least this, the Bible seems to talk about the same thing in different ways. The first one here is 1 Thessalonians 5. And I just ask you, I know it's been a long sermon, but just hang with me and pay attention, okay? This is so important, and Jesus is so trying to get us to live rightly, right? Here it is. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, unannounced, right? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. I believe the day of the Lord is Jesus' second coming. Not the rapture, okay? So they will not escape. By the way, this is right after the rapture passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, right? But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. By the way, that probably the opposite of Gregoreo is sleep, being lazy, just not caring almost. As others do, but let us, what? Watch. That is Gregoreo. And be sober. Stay alert. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, I believe that's the word Gregoreo, whether we're alert or asleep, we should live together with Him. It's the idea that we need to live like God says reality really is, that we don't need to tell you about the times or seasons. The world is bad, not good. The world will not make you happy. It'll make you horribly miserable if you pursue the world. You need to pursue God in this time. Okay, here's another one. Titus 2, I said we'd be back. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Okay, the distractions, sinful distractions. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. When? Now. Looking, now here's a chunk here that kind of ties in. Looking for, watching for, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. We are in, as we are denying ungodliness and worldly lust and living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, part of our posture is looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the one who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We are to be girded up and actively working on behalf of God because He is coming back. Our Savior is coming back. Here's another one, kind of sobering one here. The Lord is not, this is 2 Peter 3, 9 through 18. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Everything you have and cherish will be gone.
Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in what? Holy conduct and godliness. If you're putting your life into things, like Jesus said, you are wasting your time. You are wasting your eternity. Looking for and haste. By the way, a lot of these words overlap what Jesus was talking about. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be what? Diligent. Another word for vigilance, in a sense. Be diligent to found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's that purified lifestyle, that the sinless lifestyle. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Oh yeah. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scripture. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand. Can I read this again? You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand. There is no one here that will have any excuse about wasting their life. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. There's the temptation, right? That you fall. Being led away with the error of the wicked one. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I have one more passage. And if I didn't quote it, some of you would tell me I missed quoting it. So here it is. And now, little children, be abiding. I'm reading it kind of literally here. Be abiding in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I'm going to give five statements. I'll email these out later, but here they are. If I were to summarize what we're talking about, we are to keep alert at the reality that Jesus is coming back. Okay. We are to live our lives focusing on doing what matters for eternity. This is what Jesus is getting at. We are not to become lazy, encumbered, or bogged down with what life can occupy us with today. The temporary. We need to remain ready and focused on the truth and living that truth out while proclaiming it to others. And lastly, we need to always be aware of the dangers of the devil, who seeks to devour us, the world, which seeks to draw us away, and our own heart, which seeks to reason away the need to live fully for God. There is so much here, and I'm not sorry it took this long. I'm sorry it's hard sometimes to sit, but I want to challenge you to live looking ahead. I think it is so hard to do that because we get so distracted with the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people and their desire to know the truth and to do the truth. I pray that you would just burn these things into our hearts. Help us to review and study and just meditate on them, so that, Lord, we would be in a posture of readiness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.